Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. We are going to have a very interesting interview, and I want all of you to call in. This is a live show, and this means that you can participate. We're going to be talking about the Arab-Israeli or the Muslim-Jewish or the religious war that's going on here, not just in the Middle East, but from all over the world. And we have with us I jokingly call him an Israeli peacenik, but... The question is, lefty or righty? We're going to be interviewing an Israeli who is a peacenik and pro-settlement. Does that work out? It does, but perhaps not in his case, or perhaps it does in his case. We're going to let you be the judge of that. So we're going to ask you to call in with your comments, your questions, because I'm sure that a lot of what is said today on the show is going to be a bit controversial, especially if you're leaning towards one camp or the other. So call in. Our numbers are on our homepage at israelnewstalkradio.com. At the top of the page, there's our phone numbers right there. And you can call in from the United States and from Israel. Also, you can join us in the chat room. That's the orange button on our website. And also on the player, just click it. And all you need to do is sign in. There's a little green button on the bottom left of the chat room. Sign in with your Facebook page or your Twitter account or whatever it is you want. You can even do it anonymously as a guest. Just click the guest thing and then make up any name you want. Give us your middle name so you're not lying. It's still your name. And join us in the room. It's a lot of fun. You can meet people from all over the world. I want to say hi to Nathan in Australia, who's listening in the chat room, and Gordon from Indiana, and let's go see from other countries where they're listening from. We have from France, the United States, Canada, Romania, the United Kingdom, Israel, of course, all over. I want to encourage you to join me in the chat room, especially if we don't have a number for you to call in, okay? So you do that, and we're going to have a really interesting show. I'm looking forward to it because, well, you know, controversial things are kind of fun a bit. So I just want you to be on the show with me. I want you to join us, and I want you to have your say. All right? So don't go anywhere. We'll be going to be right back after the news. And remember, go to our Facebook page, Israel News Talk Radio, if you haven't yet given us a like and a follow, because you get lots of great stuff there we don't get on the radio.
Howdy from the heartland. This is David Hartenfree. Would you like to know what it's like to live in the wild West Bank? No, that is a mistake. This is the heartland of Israel, Judea, and Samaria. Israel is under attack in social media, in the campuses, in newspapers. They are spreading lies and false information about Israel. Join me every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Israel time for my show, A Hebrew in the Heartland, and I am going to provide you tools that you can use to defend Israel, to protect this holy nation.
All right, we are back here at the Tamar Yonah Show on Israel News Talk Radio. So, what is it with the wars that are going on in the Middle East? Is it an Arab problem? Is it an Islamic problem? Is it a Jewish problem? We're going to have right on the show today, and I want you to call in with your comments or questions. I call him an Israeli peacenik, but basically he's an Israeli who is both a peacenik and pro-settlement. How does that work? Well, there's a lot of people who call themselves settlers who are very, very peaceful people. In fact, I would say 99.9% of Israelis, whether they live in a settlement or not, are peaceful, very peaceful people. The Jewish people have always had their hand out for peace. So what is it? What does it mean here? We are going to discuss this on the show today, and I want to introduce my guest. His name is Inon Dan Kehati. You can find him on Facebook, and if you like, we will also leave a link from our on our website where the show is podcasted, to his Facebook page so you can follow him if you like. Inon is a Jewish Israeli grassroots activist who works with Israelis, Jews, and Arabs from all over the land of Israel, including Israeli settlements like Beit El and also Ramallah, Gush Etzion, Gaza, Tel Aviv, Jerusalem, etc., etc. You can visit his website while we're doing this show now at www.theb8.org. And we'll also link on our webpage to that. So I want to welcome to the show, Inon Don Kehate.
Shalom uvracha, Tamar. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well, thank you. So why don't we first start out by talking about your website, which is called The Home or Habayit, and it's an NGO. So tell us a little bit about it and how you started it and why.
The Home is Habayit. Habayit is a grassroots organization that's meant to be a platform to bring Israelis and Palestinians or Arabs from all over the land of Israel, Palestine, the Holy Land, and basically create grassroots process that will finalize in peace. But what makes us unique is basically that we are not part of the Israeli peace industry, quote-unquote, and we also combine more right-wing ideology rather than left. And also something that you said in the beginning, you know, when people like me are referred as peaceniks and peace activists, I kind of see it, even though you didn't mean to offend me, of course, but I kind of see it as an offense because if people from the BDS, like people like Mikko Pellet, I'm sure that most of your listeners know about him. If people like Mikko Pellet, who is a BDSnik who called to the destruction of the state of Israel, he's total anti-Israeli, and he called himself as a peace activist, then I cannot call myself a peace activist.
But you really are a peace activist in the sense that you're trying to make dialogue between the Arabs and the Jews, and you're trying to come to some solution where everybody can live here happily. Is that right or wrong?
True, but this is the problem, because, you know, you touch the thing that make people like me being considered as even traitors, because people that basically are anti-peace and they call themselves peace activists, they basically make it for me very hard to try and promote a positive solution for all people in this land. And by the way, I'm not for the two-state solution. As a matter of fact, I'm against the two-state solution. And more than that, I'm all for Israeli sovereignty all over the land. Not only on area in Israel proper, of course, in Area C, but also in Area A, B, and C.
Okay, now I can play act and say, oh, I'm shocked. I can do that, but I know who you are and I'm not going to do that. But I want to, for our listeners, just say this. If you are against this two-state solution, which is this two-state delusion, which is the two-state solution, I always say, is the final solution. It means the end of Israel, the end of the Jewish people here. Then how is it that you're able to maintain this dialogue with Arabs who want to see a Palestinian state here?
First and foremost, not all of the Arabs wants to see a Palestinian state.
Okay.
I mean, this is about, you know, if you talk about statehood, independence, or sovereignty, there's a big difference between, you know, basically independence and sovereignty. I think that what really should be done is to ask the Arabs and also us, what do we really want? And when you ask a lot of Arabs, what do they want? The nationality and, you know, the aspirations as we have, they don't have the same aspiration as we have, because we have unique roles in this thing. This is my opinion. And most of the Arab Palestinians, they care much more about, you know, ideas like freedom of movement, dignity, equality, stuff like that. So I basically say, you know, we need to ask ourselves, what do we want? They need to ask themselves what they want. And we need to clarify the things that will allow both of us to live all over this land in the freedom of home, basically.
Okay, so when you started your organization, Habayit, The Home, how did it work? You were sitting at a cafe eating watermelon with salty cheese with an Arab friend of yours, and you said, you know what, we should start an organization? How did it?
No, it was much more simple than that. basically, I wake up in the morning. I went outside of my apartment building and a brick fell on my head.
Are you serious or are you just joking?
I'm just joking.
Okay.
What happened is basically, it's a long story, but to cut it short, I was in the USA. I came back during the Protective Edge war. And, you know, a lot of things happened after the war. And I think that the war also psychologically affected me, you know, the explosions, the alarms and all that. And eventually what happened is that I wrote a post on Facebook, and that was in the time that I had maybe 400 friends and no followers at all. And basically said that I think that the solution should be either federation or one state solution and legitimization of the Israeli Jewish communities in Judea and Samaria, and to find a way to legitimize the Palestinian right of return, and we'll talk about that. And the most important thing is that we need to see the Temple Mount as also a place for the solution, which means that, in my opinion, the place to make the peace ceremony, the future peace ceremony that can be, I don't know, 1 year from now, 2 years from now, 20 years from now, who knows, it should be on the Temple Mount. And if we Jews will not look at all of the land of Israel as our home, and will not view the Temple Mount as, you know, something that is very important for our identity, then for surely the other side will not respect us, and we will not have peace eventually. And this is also what's happening right now.
So I want to clarify that. So you're saying that the Jewish people have to want to have sovereignty over the Temple Mount, because otherwise our Arab cousins will not respect us because we don't respect our own religion? Is that what you're saying?
Something like that, because I think that the Temple Mount should be under special sovereignty of Hashem, Ishtabach.
Of God.
It should be a house, yes, it should be a house of prayer for all nations. But, you know, when we view the Temple Mount and we cannot pray there, and we are basically the guests in Temple Mount, which is the most important place for us and not the Western Wall, then it's like we say to the other side, look, we are not who we say we are. So keep stepping on us.
But what are you going to do when the other side says, absolutely not, we're not giving up our mosques there, we're not giving up the Temple Mount, and we don't want your dirty little feet, as Mahmoud Abbas said about the Jewish people, we don't want your dirty little feet on the Temple Mount?
Well, first and foremost, this is something that I am not ready to compromise on, no way, no how. Second, Mahmoud Abbas, he's a Palestinian politician that was not elected for the last 12 years, and he's not legitimate also in the eyes of his own people. So whenever he say anything, he's not a legitimate partner. I don't really work or collaborate with the Palestinian leadership because I view them as a semi-dictatorship. But again, we need to first make an inner process inside our society, inside our people, and to clarify what is really important for us. And when the peace industry, especially the Israeli left, who is also part of us, we cannot alienate them. But when the peace industry is basically conveying a wrong, or radiating a wrong identity towards our, you know, our partners in the other side, the people on the other side, the Palestinian people, or Arab living in Israel, or I don't know, Arab Martians, doesn't matter, Homo sapiens living between the river and the sea. Basically, what happened is that the demands are, you know, the demands are, doesn't make sense.
You know, just out of curiosity, if you don't mind sharing, and if you don't have to, if you don't want to, can you tell us, did you serve in Souk Eitan in Operation Protective Edge in the war with Gaza?
No, I didn't serve in the Miluim in the last couple of years, no. But
okay, that's, the Miluim is reserves for anyone who doesn't know Hebrew?
Yeah.
Okay.
But
where did you serve when you were younger?
Yeah, I served as a sergeant, a master sergeant in a boot camp in Zikim. So basically I was initiating a lot of young Israeli soldiers before, you know, after they finished the high school and all that. And
Did you ever have any Druze or Arabs that you came into the army under you?
Of course, no doubt.
And
sorry to cut you, but actually in the army it's the best place to know all the Israeli society, whether it's Druze, Ethiopian, Russians. Was the best time of my life, honestly.
Okay, so we're gonna ask you some more questions, and again we invite phone calls in. If you want to call in and ask a question or make a comment, you're invited to do so. We'll be right back with Inon Don Kehati, our guest, and we're going to be talking about the Arab-Israeli conflict, the Muslim-Jewish conflict.
Hey, it's Ari Fuld at Israel News Talk Radio. If you, like me, are sick and tired, if you've had enough of listening to all the anti-Israel lies and propaganda that's being spread online and offline, in the press, in the newspapers, on TV channels, in the newsrooms across the world, tune in to my weekly show, Bulletproof, on Thursdays at 5 p.m. as we discover, expose, and completely destroy all anti-Israel lies and propaganda. And we're going to do it with just the truth. As an active IDF reserve soldier, an elite paratroopers unit, I will try to give you an inside look to the opinions of the men and women of the IDF on the situation. Bulletproof will give you the tools. More importantly, will give you the weapons to take down all anti-Israel activists, no matter where you meet them. Tune in every Thursday at 5 p.m. Israel time to Bulletproof on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
All right, we are back here at the Tamar Yonah Show on Israel News Talk Radio. And our guest is Inon Don Kehati. He is an Israeli activist. He works in order to make a more peaceful region here with the Arabs who live in Israel, with the Jewish people. He says he's against the two-state solution. He is pro-Israeli or Jewish settlement. And yet he is saying that we need to embrace the Arabs and let them feel that they have a home here as well. You can visit his website at www.theb8.org, and we'll put a link on our website. So welcome back to the show, Inon.
Hey, what's up? What's up?
All right, so I want to ask you this, Inon. You know, we had talked about the conflict and some of the problems with the Arabs that we have and with the left wing, et cetera, because you're saying that we should hold on to Har HaBayit. I'm happy to hear you say that. You're saying that you're against the two-state solution. I'm happy to hear you say that because it means the end of Israel, a two-state solution. But what are the other Arabs who are working with you, who are involved in your NGO, what are they thinking? What is their side? What are they saying? Yes, we hear you, Inon, and you're a friend of ours and we like you, but this is our side. So what is their side that they tell you?
Well, it depends, because also the Arab society is diverse. Well, and what you hear in the media is not really projecting what really happens in the reality. I totally agree that most Arab Palestinians do not, most of them currently do not want genuine peace, in my opinion. But there are pockets of people that really want alliance and really recognize the Jewish aspirations. And, you know, basically the left is giving up on. Some of them, I can say with full confidence that they will accept full Israeli sovereignty. Some of them would still like to have some form of Palestinian independence. And some of them also support the two-state solution. But it doesn't mean that I personally accept the idea of the two-state solution. But I'm totally for dialogue with everybody, including people that are considered to be my rivals or even my enemies.
Okay, let me ask you this, Inon. Yourself said that most of the Arabs do not want to have peace with Israel, correct?
Probably currently, yes. Probably.
Okay.
I cannot back this thing with factual numbers.
Okay, I think it's pretty much generally understood that that's what I always say in my program, Inon, that Israel has peace with all of the Arabs. That is, with all of the Arabs that want peace. And the only Arabs that Israel doesn't have peace with are the Arabs who don't want peace. So if you're really looking for a solution to the conflict here, maybe it should be that you are talking to these Arabs who are logical, who are more moral, and who don't have this hatred in their hearts, and saying, you need to change your society and your parents and your family and your neighbors and your community into wanting to have peace with Israel, because Israel always has its hand out for peace.
I not only did I agree, I also want to say that, look, in the Arab society, there's no freedom of thinking. There's no freedom of expression. There's no freedom of choice. Their system is suppressive and does not allow new ideas. And, you know, even to develop normal relationship between Jews and Palestinians is something that is considered to be a taboo or even treason. You know what I mean? So basically everyone that tried to raise their heads up and meet with Israelis, especially in public and stuff like that, he's probably going to find a Molotov cocktail outside his home or being interrogated by the PA or the preventive security. So I totally agree. The system in the Palestinian side must have reform. This is not a new thing. Yet and still, since we are here in Israel, we are basically the sovereigns. The sovereign need to take responsibility and not to let the initiation or the initiative come from outside sources. You know what I mean? Why don't we take the initiative and try to do things to change the status quo for, you know, to reach that win-win solution?
Okay, so then how do you do this?
You do it by first and foremost say clearly what is the vision, and to say that we are against the two-state solution. You know, let me remind you, our Prime Minister, Bibi Netanyahu, who I consider him as a brilliant, brilliant, maybe the Michael Jordan of politics. He's a brilliant, smart person, but he does not bring a vision and doesn't bring hope and doesn't bring alternative to something that we know that is already a failure.
Okay.
So, this is my challenge also from our side.
I agree with you there. I don't agree with the game that I believe that Prime Minister Netanyahu, who's playing, just saying the words that he thinks the world wants to hear, but having little intention of really having a two-state solution. And thank God about that, by the way. Because I think that people today really want someone, they want the truth. They're tired of the platitudes and they're tired of politicians lying to them. And I think that's why Donald Trump, one of the reasons he got elected was because he was saying what everybody was thinking but couldn't say. They wanted to hear the truth. They wanted to hear these things. So saying that, so what is your solution? If you were the Prime Minister of Israel, what would you do, Enon?
Very simple. I would give three options. I would basically give any Arab Palestinian living in the land the option either to be an equal citizen, full equal citizen under Israeli sovereignty, or to have full equal human rights and separate political rights also under our sovereignty. And third, I will give them the option to the bad guys and the scumbags to fight and basically exile and deportation and war for those that want to, pardon my French, no, I'm not going to say the F word.
You have to be careful what you say, yes.
Yeah, I was.
We may have kids listening.
Basically those that don't want peace, they should have either war, exile, or death.
Okay, but you know what? You sound like a Kahanist.
No, because Kahanis doesn't offer full equality to Palestinians.
Well, but you yourself just said that you would give them full rights except for political rights.
And some Kahanis also have to make the quotation marks when they say Palestinians.
Well, I don't use that word because it's incorrect. Because the Jews are the Palestinians, and they took that name and stole it for themselves. But there's not, and you know this if you hang around with the Arabs too, and the Arab culture, there is no P in the Arab alphabet. So how could they have a name? They have to say Palestinian. They can't say Palestinian.
But look, maybe I'm the only peace activist that can say to Palestinians that there was basically no Palestinian people before 1964. But I do recognize that there is Palestinian people now, because if someone tell me that my nationality is Palestinian, I respect that, but it doesn't mean that I respect what they are aspiring.
Yinon, I hear what you're saying.
When it's anti my identity. You know what I mean?
I hear what you're saying, but it's, and I've heard it before from other people, it's incorrect though, because if they decided that they wanted to take the name Jews, would we call them Jews? But they said, no, but this is Judea and Samaria, and we're the Jews, and you're not the Jews. And we know about replacement theology. They could have easily have taken that name, and yet we would respect that and say, well, if that's what they want to call themselves and they're Jews, absolutely not. They can say whatever. They can call themselves Martians. They're not Martians, and they're not Jews,
okay?
And they're not Palestinians. My father was a Palestinian. The Palestine was the little box that all the Jews all over the world gave money to in order to buy land from these Turkish occupiers from the Ottoman Empire, to buy this land from anybody who owned it for the Jewish people in Palestine. This was the Jews, and the Arabs were Egyptians or they were Southern Syrians, and they would take it as an insult if you called them a Palestinian. So we cannot play their game and give them some identity which is factually incorrect, historically incorrect, and gives them some type of title or ownership to this land, which is untrue. The Arabs are in Arabia. The Jews, He didn't take the Arabs out of Egypt. He didn't take anyone else. He took the Hebrews, which is the language we speak here, the Jewish people, and brought them to this land. And the Arabs were given the land by God in Arabia and in the surrounding areas there. So we do not have to play this game that, well, they call themselves that, so we're going to respect it. It's incorrect.
Look, I respect your opinion, and I can agree also with many things that you say, but I look at it in a different angle. First, I think it's a given fact that now millions of people call themselves Palestinians, and neither you or I can change that. All right? This is first. Second,
I disagree, but go ahead.
In my opinion,
hold it right there, Yinon. Remember what you're going to say, because I want you to be able to say it. We're just going to a break right now. And so when we get back again, this is going to be the last segment of the show. So I really want you, all of you people who are listening from all over the world, I want you to call in with your comments, with your questions. If you have any challenges, challenge Yinon. He's a good sport. He's a good guy. And he'd love to answer your questions. All right. We'll be right back.
Come on.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
This is Shai Ben-Tekoa, and each week I'll be webcasting to you from Judea, origin of the word Jew, a people besieged and beleaguered in every generation. Nazi Germany is but a memory, but in its place the world invented the phantom Palestinians as this generation's internationally authorized Jew killers. Tune in for a different slant on life in Israel, Phantom Nation, every Monday.
Back here at the Tamar Yonah Show on Israel News Talk Radio, and I'm having a really fun time talking with Yinon, our guest, Yinon Dan Kehati. He is one of the heads, or the founder, I should say, of The Home, which is at www.theb8.org, and he's talking to us about trying to make a more peaceful solution to the Arab-Israeli conflict, or to the Islamic Jewish conflict that we have here. How do we do that? I think that we agree on a lot of points. I think that we disagree on some points, and we're going to disagree on the next one, because we're going to bring Yinon back on now to talk about. He wanted to make one last statement about using the name Palestinian. So go ahead, Yinon.
Right. I just want to say that basically, you know, when we focus too much on the terminology rather than the essence, we basically remain stuck. And from what I found out is that it doesn't matter how you treat or call Palestinians or Arab or Martians, whatever. You know, what matters is the essence. What matters is the right thing. What matters is the identity. What matters is the aspirations. And when you bring to the table people that basically know the Jewish aspirations, especially people from Judea and Samaria, you know, I don't want to, you know, use names here, but people from Hebron, the heads of the community in Hebron, if these people are going to be in the front row of negotiations with Arab Palestinians, it will be much different. But this is not the situation. Also, one more thing about the term Palestinian people. It's just, you know, if Adrianus would not change the name of the land from Provincia Judea to Provincia Palestina, probably the names of the Palestinians today would be Arab Israelis. No?
Okay, you know what? I have to disagree with you because names are extremely important. We know even on a mystical, on a spiritual level, how important a name is, that the name of Abraham was changed from Avram to Avraham and Sarai to Sarah and Yaakov, which is Jacob, to Yisrael, to Israel. It's an extremely important thing, but we'll have to leave it there for now. We have a caller. We have Chris joining us from the occupied territories of Chicago. Shalom, Chris. What's your comment or question for Enon?
Hi, Tamar, and hi, Enon. This is a very interesting guest you have today. I have several questions, if I could. They're all brief. I notice you're using the word Arab all the time in reference to Israel, the population. And I've known Arabs here in Illinois. I've met maybe six. I've known them really well. Non-Islamic Arabs, and they're great people. I've met a few Islamists that I really don't even want in my country. But aside from that, aren't you talking about the problem in Israel? The problem, as we could say, would be the Islamists, not Arabs, right?
Okay, so here it proves my point that names are very important. Words are very important. So he's saying this is actually an Islamist problem and not an Arab problem. Would you agree, disagree? What do you have to say, Enon?
I don't agree that it's an Islamist problem. I think it's a jihadist problem. I think that basically there's good and bad in Islam, and the bad thing, which is jihad, must be fought, must be, you know, these terrorists, jihadists must be killed and all that. But I don't think that to view all of Islam as, you know, as something negative is something which is just, because also it's an interest that, you know, in humanity there's going to be more people who are going to be more atheistic and spread the word of God. And also the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, or, you know, what we have now in Israel, if we will not get into the, you know, a very serious Islamic, Jewish, Christian dialogue, you know, we will not solve the conflict.
All right, Chris?
Yes, let me ask you a couple. They're just three quick related questions. I'm asking you, if is Ben, from an Islamic point of view, is Bin Laden or was Bin Laden a good or a bad Muslim? And your nemesis there, this murderous, lying, you know, you could use every swear word in the book after that. What about this Abbas character? Is he a good or a bad Muslim? And I'm telling you, I know the answer. I've read their book, and from the Islamic point of view, they are good Muslims. It's a very sick religion. And I think you're 30 years behind the curve. This is a much, I mean, we've got murderous thugs running around everywhere, and they need to be exiled as quickly as they appear. And their friends, their imams, I think I've read that Poland and Hungary have realized the only solution that works flawlessly is no Muslims allowed, period.
In their country. All right, so let's let Enon answer that. Thank you, Chris. Enon.
I think that basically we need to make the clarification who is a friend and who is a foe. And I think that definitely I agree with you. People that view Osama bin Laden, Hamas, ISIS, Hezbollah, it's all the same thing.
And Mahmoud Abbas, yes.
Political radical Islam, basically you must be either outlawed or fought against with no tolerance. But again, the question is how many of the people really support it? And we all know that in semi-dictatorships, people are being forced. Hello?
Yeah, I'm with you. We're with you.
Yeah, I'm just hearing. Anyway, we all know that in semi-dictatorships, people don't really have the freedom to express what their real views are.
Okay, wait, stop, so you know, because we saw what happened in Gaza. They had democracy there. They had their elections. That was just around the time of the expulsion of Jews from Gush Katif. And they voted in democratic elections without any dictator over them, the Hamas, to represent them.
Yeah, but don't forget that also their other option was Fatah, which was also despisable in their eyes.
Okay, but the Fatah is seen as more moderate.
Wait a second, please. And also, it was 12 years ago. Things have changed. I'm not giving, I don't try to make it easy on Palestinians or Hamas, or even on myself. But I think that you need to clarify this issue with the Palestinians themselves. That's what I have to say.
Okay, Chris, did you have anything else you wanted to say before you go? Chris? Okay, I guess we lost him already. All right. Okay, so you know what? We have like another 4 minutes left, and I have actually a lot of questions for you, so let's try to get to them as much as possible. You wanted to make a statement about the inner gap inside Israeli society between the left and the right.
Yeah, I think that what we see now happening as time goes by, we see more animosity and hate between ourselves, between right-wingers, left-wingers. And I must say that this is something, you know, we speak about Arabs, we speak about Islam, we speak about blah, blah, blah. But if we will not solve, if we will not make the necessary fix inside our society first, then there's no point even to talk about, you know, what's happening with our neighbors.
And how would you solve that? How would you address that problem?
First and foremost, I will create a dialogue that will include people from the right and the left and will not alienate people that, you know, it's very important to say this, okay? We are Jews. Jews have so many opinions. It's unbelievable. It's so unbelievable. But, you know, like Rabbi Cook said, you know, Rabbi Cook, basically, that I really respect and inspired from, he didn't view the secular Jews back then, 100 years ago, was not part of Am Yisrael. He knew that they had their role and their part in the Talich of the Geulah.
In the process of the redemption.
And one very important thing about us in our identity is to aspire for Geulah, for redemption. This is something that we accept of the, you know, the Tilumi sector, we almost completely ignore. And this is our main essence.
Are you a religious Jew? Do you keep the mitzvot? Do you wear a kippah on your head?
No, but I don't believe in Hashem. I'm above belief. I'm in the stage of knowing that there is Hashem, okay?
That there is a God, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
But I don't need to keep mitzvot in order for that. I do it in my way. But I think, again, speaking about right-wingers, left-wingers, we must accept that neither of us can... You know, the uniformity is not good.
What?
We need to understand that the diversity of opinions, and this is what beautiful in Am Yisrael, is what keep us strong. And what we have to really, really, really remember is why the Second Temple and why the First Temple were destroyed. It's because of Sinat Chinam and Avodah Zarah.
Baseless hatred. Okay, and idol worship. So we'll have to have another time, you and I, Ino, and we'll need to talk about you keeping the mitzvot.
What I feel now, and this is very, very important for me to say, mm-hmm. I feel a lot of sinat chinam in Israel, and it's very not good.
Well, I agree. I agree with you on that the Jewish people have to come more together and stop being self-hating Jews. And but in any case, our enemies need to stop hating us. And in order for us to do that, in order for that to be solved, they need to do their work on their side as well.
True.
Okay. So.
But I can be responsible for what's happening on my side.
Yes,
first.
You can. And really, I've had such a good time speaking with you today on the show. Can you just tell really quick? We have like about 30 seconds left. Why is if your website's called The Home, yet it's www.theb8.org? What is the B8?
Debate.
Oh, it's the like beat.
Debate, yeah.
Oh, the Beit. Because Beit, okay, Beit, which means home. I see. Very cute. Okay. Yeah. All right, Inon, I just want to thank you so much for coming on the show. It's been a pleasure.
I
want to have you on again sometime. Okay? You'll come on again with me? Did I treat you well enough?
Let me think about it. Give me 5 seconds. Yeah.
Okay, good. I'm glad. Okay. You know, we're all brothers. Right, we're all brothers. Thank you so much, Inon Don Quixote. We'll link to your Facebook page and to your website. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Thank you, everybody, for coming on the show. Leave your comments on the webpage where the show is podcasted. Thank you, everybody.
If you love Israel News Talk Radio, then you'll love our Facebook page. We keep you up to date on what's happening in Israel, plus little surprise treasures that we don't share on the radio. Go now to follow us on Facebook. Just look for the Israel News Talk Radio Facebook page, and don't forget to subscribe and follow us by clicking on the like button. We post great stuff there that you'll want to share. Israel News Talk Radio on Facebook and Israel News Radio on Twitter.
If you're hearing this message, everyone else can too. Advertise with Israel News Talk Radio and get your message out to people. We'll build a personalized package for you. Contact advertising at israelnewstalkradio.com.
Straight talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
News, opinion, and more.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.